Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning and hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. So my wife, Debbie, had surgery on Wednesday on her hand. And she's had arthritis in that thumb joint. It's kind of a common thing. She had surgery 7 years ago, but it worked for a while. It's very, very painful. Worked for a while, but then it failed. And so she had to have it redone. And it's been something. Lots of pain, although she has done well. The Lord has been gracious in answering our prayers to reduce the pain, and she's now just taking some Tylenol when needed and off all the heavier stuff. And that means that Pastor Jeff is a nurse to Debbie, and that's not my longest and strongest suit, being a nurse. And so I was telling my mom last night, she was asking about Debbie and the pain pills, and Debbie said, oh, I hate taking those. It just kind of makes me irritable. And I told my mom, I said, you know, Mom, here's the deal. It's like, how many pain pills can we take for Nurse Jeff to say, I can't do this anymore? And so Debbie kind of laughed at that. But we're getting through it, and we're praising the Lord. And she is out and about today and going to get in, run some errands. She just got that hand in a cast. The doctor told us, the surgeon said, it takes a full year for that to heal and about 6 months before you can get full use of that. So I appreciate your prayers for Debbie as she recovers and gets back to normal. Well, lots of things happened over the weekend. Great things happened. We had a wonderful service on Sunday. The Lord was just so present in as we gathered in His name. We baptized three. We had people pray to receive Christ at the end of the message. And it was just a great spirit. And so we give the Lord all the praise for that. Well, I wanted to talk to you today about the way of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18, something very, very interesting. Ezekiel 18 is a really important chapter because the Lord is dealing with the people and a proverb that they used in the land of Israel. And this was the proverb. And the Lord said, don't use this anymore. The fathers eat the sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge. And God says, as I live, declares the Lord, you are surely not going to use this proverb in Israel anymore. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins will die. A son is not responsible for his father's sin. A father is not going to be judged necessarily for his son's sin. Now, in the case of Eli, he didn't do what he was supposed to do with his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and so he was judged for that. But every soul is mine. We stand alone before the Lord, and although sons and daughters are affected by a wayward father, a drunk for a father that, who doesn't provide for the family, obviously you suffer for that, you're not going to be judged on his sins. Those don't fall on you. And then it goes on to say this in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25, yet you say, he's talking to the children of Israel, yet you say the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? And he says it again. He says, but the house of Israel says the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And then Ezekiel 18:32, such a great verse. For I have no pleasure In the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. I love that passage of scripture. I wrote a chapter in my book, The Devil's Newsroom, called A Fork in the Road. And the fork in the road has to do with going your way or going God's way. You saying that the way of the Lord is right or the way of the Lord is not right. Now, we have a lot of people in our world, a lot of people in America who get on television, reporters and things, get on television, politicians who say, in effect, that the way of the Lord is not right. They want their own way. And then even worse, you have people in who call themselves Christians, pastors and priests and bishops and all this, that try and tell us that the way of the Lord is pro-abortion. The way of the Lord is pro-homosexuality. The way of the Lord is love is love. That's the way of the Lord. That's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is very, very clear in Scripture. Now, Romans chapter 1 is a passage that we go back to time and time and time again. And it says this in verse 21. It's talking about the wrath of God coming down upon people and upon a society who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We have a society today, and we have a culture today, especially in the news media, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want to tell you the truth. They want to spin the news. They want to make the news. That's why Trump calls them CNN and others, well, you're part of the fake news, because they don't tell you the truth. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, obviously, Romans 1 is not talking about the news. It's talking about the news of God. And it says this, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over, first to the lust of their hearts for impurity, and then he gives them over again to homosexual immorality, and then he gives them over again in Romans chapter 1 to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore, a mind that is depraved and can't add 2 + 2 morally. And that's kind of where we are today. Now, when it comes to common sense morality, my feeling is Donald Trump has common sense morality. Is he the paragon of virtue? No. Does he have things in his past that are shameful? Yes. So do you. So do I. So did Paul. So do many people. You can find grace and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. If we couldn't, then we'd all be in trouble. The Bible says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Now, what Donald Trump is trying to do is restore moral sanity in America. He's trying to restore law and order. Is he doing it perfectly? No. Would anyone do it perfectly outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. How does the Lord, when he rules, how's he going to rule? He's going to rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says, and righteousness is going to prevail in the land. Now, as we've said repeatedly on Real Truth for Today, Trump is doing what Trump is doing, and he's trying to move the government back to law and order, right and wrong, common sense morality. There are only two genders. He said that on day one of his presidency, and trying to get all this woke nonsense out of schools and out of businesses and return again to what the values that made America great. That's the statement, make America great again. And put America first. And he's doing lots of things to benefit people. I was questioned on X a week or so ago, and it's like, what's one thing Trump's done that's helped the middle class? And it's like, well, Trump is restoring law and order. That helps every class. You know, what he did in Washington, D.C., crime is plummeting in Washington, D.C., because he ratcheted up law and order. You put the National Guard there, you start to enforce laws, you start to arrest criminals, and then you have to have courts that will prosecute those people. And all of a sudden, what happens? The streets clean up. Who does that benefit? Everyone, especially poor people, because poor people and in poor neighborhoods, they oftentimes see the bulk of the crime. Well, the way Trump is doing things, that has made an impact on the world. I find it almost comical when you see these people saying, well, we're just a laughingstock around the world. And Trump, they just laugh at him behind closed doors. Well, that is so far from reality. Those people fear Trump and they respect Trump and they respect America again, because all of a sudden, as one man put it in a comical little meme, daddy's back. And, we always had that phrase, as kids growing up, your mom, if you did something wrong, you wait till your father gets home. It's like, dad is going to, put the Board of Education upon the seat of understanding, and we're going to get, what we deserve for the actions we've committed. Well, Trump is coming down and saying, boom, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're cleaning up Washington, D.C., and we hope to go to Chicago, Illinois, and Baltimore, Maryland, and Los Angeles, California, and other places. Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, said, hey, I don't wear my watch in some of these cities because I'll just be a target for crime. He said it's hard to go anywhere on the street because of the intense crime and all of the filth and the homelessness and the things that we see in these cities. Well, Trump wants to clean that up. And that has gotten the attention of one man. His name is George Peterson. He's a British politician, and he's committed to making Britain great again. This is what he had to say.
Watching Trump and the Americans, it has made me even more determined than ever to restore our unique country through a great repeal act when Labour falls at the next election. I don't particularly care if we're liked by the rest of the world. I care if we're respected, because right now, Britain is a joke, and it has been for some time. I want the British government to put the British people at the top of the agenda. Yeah. We should make no apologies for that. Learn from Trump. Let's be unapologetically patriotic. Slash tax across the board. Enforce the border. Deport those with no right to be here. Accept biological reality. Fight back against wokery. Bulldoze nonsensical foreign aid. Eradicate DEI, deliver sensible infrastructure, carpet bomb public sector waste, brutally crack down on crime, and plenty more. Let's make Great Britain great again. Thank you.
That was George Peterson, and obviously what Donald Trump is doing has gotten his attention, has gotten a lot of attention from other Brits, and they say, hey, we got to stop the insanity. That's a phrase I like to use from Susan Powder back in the day in the 90s, where she was talking about the things that we eat, stop the insanity, start eating right, start exercising. If you want to be in shape, if you want to be healthy, it's not rocket science. It's quit eating the things that you're eating and quit doing the things that you're doing. Stop the insanity. As you know, I know insanity is doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. You won't get a different result. The Lord says, or Israel said, the way of the Lord is not right, and God throws it back in their face. Is my way not right? No, it's your way that is not right. Now, in America, we have so many saying that the way of the Lord is not right. And God says, is it my way that's not right? No, it's your way that is not right. And we're finding out very quickly that our way is not right and leads to destruction. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Thank you. This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Say, what would you do if you were a new Christian and you didn't have a Bible? Probably say, well, I'd hop in my car, I'd go to a Christian bookstore, or I'd have one shipped to me. What if those weren't options? You'd say, well, I'm new to the faith. I need to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You know, you would pray that someone, anyone, would bring you a Bible. And that's exactly the way it is for literally millions of Christians around the world. They're part of our spiritual family. They're new to the faith. They want to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, but God has them planted where it's very difficult to access a Bible. And that's why AFR and Bible League are teamed up this month to bless 4,000 waiting believers all over the world at $5 a Bible. Would you consider a dollar a day? A $30 a month pledge will take care of 72 waiting Christians over the next year. Would you pray about that and get involved today?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
And we'll see this in the weeks to come based upon the teaching of Messiah. We will not experience the wrath of God. But people in the past have been persecuted for their faith. People presently have been persecuted for their faith. And in the end times, there is coming the worst. Hear this. The worst time of persecution for believers. Don't believe a false teaching that we're just going to escape that. No, it's the suffering that's going to document our faith. Get ready, because the time is approaching.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the way of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord says to Israel, "Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right?" Hey, when you think about decisions in life, temptations in life, we always have, it's a fork in the road. That's what I called the chapter in the devil's newsroom on this passage of scripture, Ezekiel 18. We come to that fork in the road. We want to do what we want to do. We want to go our way. And we say, well, our way is the better way. Our way is going to make me happy. Our way is going to lead me to love and joy and peace. Well, it never does. Only God's way does that. And so we say the way of the Lord is not right. No, the way of the Lord is right. And if you go down the road of our way, then you find out that, that's a dead-end road. That road leads off a cliff. That's the broad road that leads to destruction, as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7. The narrow road, the road less traveled, the narrow road is the Lord's road. That's the road that leads to life. That leads to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, there's been a lot in the news after that horrific shooting in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when it became known that the shooter was transgender. And people have been asking the question, and rightly so, that we need to look into this, because there's a big problem in our world with the transgender insanity that is going on. God's way is he made us male and female, Genesis chapter 1, and Jesus reaffirmed that. In the beginning, the Lord made us male and female. We don't have 70-something genders or whatever Facebook had said at one time. There are two genders, male or female. It's a binary thing. And you're XY male or XX female, and that can't be changed. So you can say, well, God, you didn't make me right. You know, Bruce Jenner said, well, you know, the Lord didn't make me right. The way of the Lord is not right, basically, is what he said. And God says to him, oh, yeah, is it my way that's not right? No, it's your way that is not right. Now, you can mutilate yourself. You can take all the hormone drugs and try and change your pronouns, which is ridiculous, and put on a wig and put on a dress and pretend and go into the land of make-believe. But guess what? You're going to find out that your way is wrong. Now, Sebastian Gorka, if you've ever listened to him, he is fun to listen to. And I don't know where he is spiritually, but I know he has a good sense of right and wrong. What is morally right and what is morally wrong? And he points out that, hey, look at these mass shootings that we've had in the last several years and see how many of these shooters were suffering from gender dysphoria. In Denver, in Aberdeen, in Nashville, in Uvalde, in Georgia, in Philadelphia, in Colorado, in Minneapolis. He said, we need to address this. That's the elephant in the living room that people don't want to address. And I saw something on X just yesterday. I was talking about the mother of this shooter in Minneapolis, who had her son's name changed from Robert to Robin. And, you know, they've been castigating her on social media. And somebody pointed out, you know, she has gotten a lawyer and she's not talking to anybody and she's tried to escape from the media and those kinds of things. And they said, hey, you know, she no doubt had been told that you can have, as Elon Musk was told, hey, you can have a live daughter or a dead son. It's up to you. What do you want to have? And no doubt she was bullied by the culture to saying, well, you need to accept your child. He's telling you he's really a she. And so before we go after her and throw her under the bus, maybe we need to put ourselves in her shoes. You know, she worked at that school, that Annunciation Catholic school, where that guy shot up. He went to school there, where he shot up those poor children and just indiscriminately started shooting people and then shot himself. And so Sebastian Gorka was on CNN with Brianna Keeler, I think is how you say her name, and she tries to put him in a box. Gorka is a smart guy, and he doesn't really do the boxes. Here is some of the exchange between him and Brianna Keeler.
Okay, so let me ask you about this. You know, 96% of attackers in, when you're looking at the U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center, looking at 172 mass attacks in the U.S. between 2016 and 2020, 96% were non-trans men. So I know you're focusing on this shooter being trans. The shooter was trans, and that is certainly of note. But are you missing the bigger picture here when you zero in on that instead of more broadly these school shooters as an epidemic, and you perhaps miss the through line that connects
them all?
You're
too stupid to see this. That's her attitude.
Well, no, because your facts obfuscate two things. You are using data based upon the predominant gun violence, which is gang-on-gang violence with zero ideological content. If you remove all of that, the gang violence on the streets of Chicago, LA, Detroit, then you come down to a much smaller data set. So it's like those who say, you know, gun violence in America causes so many deaths, and then fail to note that the majority of the stats they are using refer to also suicides by gun, which of course is not what we are talking about here today. So let's concentrate on mass shootings at schools, specifically Christian or Catholic schools, then the data set is wholly different. So don't conflate different data sets just to make a political point. There was an ideological content to this attack. That's what terrorism is. It's not because somebody didn't get the drug deal they wanted. It is an ideological message, whether it was anti-Israel, as in this case, whether it targeted President Trump in its rhetoric, as we saw on one of the magazines written by the perpetrator on that YouTube video, or whether we saw the fact that it was anti-Christian and targeting children. That has nothing to do with gang violence. Let's not mix the two things up.
Yeah, she keeps on going with him. I would think after a while you'd be like, I don't want to keep putting him in, trying to put him in a box, because he's smarter than I am, and he's very, very articulate. I just like his voice. But she kept on going. You know, this is CNN, and CNN has a, they have an ideological bent, and they're going to push the rhetoric. How dare you call out the trans community? And you know, we're for trans community. We love the trans community. We need to do everything we can to promote the trans community. That's the way of the Lord is not right, because God said there is no such thing as a trans person. You're either XX female or XY male. That's the way it is. And the sooner you accept the way God made you, the faster you can live a life of productivity and peace and joy and experience the things that God has for you. If you're going to fight God on the most basic thing of how he made you, and male or female, you're going to just have a life that is horrific. You're going to be at war inside. You're at war with God. And it stands to reason that that's going to spill out. I've seen a lot of the videos on social media of these trans people that are so angry. No doubt they're angry because they're fighting God at the most basic level of their creation. This is the interview that keeps on going.
So let's narrow it down then, because by CNN's count, when you look at 32 school shootings since 2020, in which you have four or more people who have been killed, so these are the larger school shootings, only three of 32 of those shootings were committed by transgender shooters.
Yeah, forgive me if I don't go with CNN stats, okay? CNN has proven itself to be wholly inaccurate in all kinds of things for the last 10 years, perpetrators of the Russia hoax, and that we didn't have an open border. So please forgive me if I don't take your stats for granted.
All right, it's simple math. Two of 32 shootings.
No, it's not. It's distortions. It's no, you are distorting the facts. Let me be clear. In just a couple of years, we have seen seven mass shootings involving people of transgender nature or who are confused in their gender.
Well, he's bringing up the point that that is a concern. Now, Tom Askell and I on Friday, we talked about that. You're opening the door to the enemy, and the enemy is a deceiver. Jesus said he is a liar, speaking of the devil. He is a liar and the father of lies. And as you've heard me say before, he's not just a good liar. He's not just one, you know, high-level liar among a bunch of high-level liars. He's the master liar. He's the father of lies. And his lies are very, very plausible to our minds, to our hearts. They seem to line up with our feelings, our emotions. You know, love is love. That's the lie we hear from the left concerning homosexuality. Well, we know that homosexuality is fine because love is love. You can love anybody you want to. Well, obviously, we're commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. But when you get into homosexuality, that is, and to say love is love, well, that's obviously wrong. love, real love, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And homosexuality, homosexual love, is not the truth. That's an abomination to God. That is, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, that is vile and unnatural. The natural desire, and the way God created it, is for a man to be with a woman to be with a man. That's how procreation takes place. If God had made two men when he first started, there would be no other people, because you can't have two men reproduce. You can't have two women reproduce. That's just basic common sense. And so the devil wants to distort things. I love this this quote from Charles Spurgeon, because the need of the hour, I talked about this on Sunday as I was talking about false teachers from the book of Jude. The false teachers don't erode away our confidence in the scripture. False prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, they're all out, they're just spread across the landscape. Well, that doesn't mean that the Bible's not true. That shows that the Bible is true, because the Lord said, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. But false prophets arose among the people, Peter said, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, the devil is a master deceiver, and so his lies are going to sound a lot like the truth. You know, Genesis chapter 3, when he lied to Eve, and he came to Eve, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden, question mark. That's not what God said. God said, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So he takes the word of God, he twists it, he adds a question mark to get you to question it. So this is what Charles Spurgeon said about discernment. Discernment is the need of the hour, so that we can discern the difference between our way and God's way, between the right way and the wrong way. He said this, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. The devil is always going to come with almost right. If he just comes with wrong, that's just so far off the beaten path, so to speak, you're going to recognize that. You know, Adrian Rogers used to say, what's more dangerous, a watch that's 5 hours wrong or a watch that's 5 minutes wrong? He said, a watch that's 5 hours wrong, you look at it and you immediately know that's got to be wrong, because it's just so far from, you know, my internal time clock. But a watch that's 5 minutes wrong, well, hey, 5 minutes can mean the difference between making your plane and not making your plane. 5 minutes is deadly. And the devil operates in those 5 minute time periods, in those subtle lies. So the subtle lies give way for the more blatant lies, as he does in Genesis 3. When he hits Eve with the subtle lie, then he came in with the blatant lie, you shall not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Hey, is the way of the Lord right, or is your way, my way, our way right? Obviously, it's the way of the Lord that is right, and we need to order our lives on the narrow road that leads to life. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and the music tells us that we are close to a break. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. Hey, Israel said the way of the Lord is not right, but God said, no, it's your way that's not right. And here's the good news. If you'll quit your way, repent, and turn to my way, I'll forgive you. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live.
Hey, if you've never heard of AFA Stream, let me tell you about it. It's video streaming that goes beyond just entertainment. Yeah, there are shorts and feature films for all ages, but they're all backed by scriptural themes. You'll also find resources to help you grow closer to God, along with documentaries like Culture Warrior, the story of Don Wildman and the founding of AFA. There's a lot of free content, but if you become a Great Commission partner, you'll unlock much more. Check it out today at stream.afa.net. Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you are a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as you share your challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 28th through the 30th. You're invited to join us at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee for 3 days of encouragement, renewal, and worship. Once again, Brother Bert Harper, AFA Director of Family and Pastoral Ministries, will host the retreat along with his wife, Jan. Our speakers will include J.J. Jasper and Dr. Alex McFarland. If you've attended in the past, we'd love to see you again. And if you've never experienced a fishbowl retreat, we especially invite you to be refreshed and renewed. The per-couple admission price includes lodging, meals, and materials. Visit repairingthefoundations.net to learn more and register. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is my take. In a recent proposed settlement, the IRS agreed to cease enforcing long-standing restrictions on certain political activities of religious organizations. The IRS has interpreted the Johnson Amendment for more than 70 years to mean that charities cannot speak in favor or oppose political activities or political candidates. This has effectively silenced many pulpits nationwide. The settlement results from a lawsuit filed in 2024 by the National Religious Broadcasters and several religious organizations. Instead of defending the 1954 Johnson Amendment, the IRS accepted arguments that religious organizations should have the same rights as other non-tax-exempt groups. Churches will now be able to freely discuss political campaigns and candidates during worship services without risk of losing their tax-exempt status. Will this development encourage pastors to stand up, speak up, and refuse to give up on political matters? I pray it will. I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's my take.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the way of the Lord. Hey, big question. Is the way of the Lord right? Is the Bible true? Should we follow the way of the Lord, or should we go our own way? Should we say, well, phooey on the morals of the Bible? We want to write our own book of what is right and what is wrong. And, the Bible indicates that abortion is murder. It's sacrificing your sons and your daughters to the false gods, as they did in the Old Testament, Molech and Chemosh and the false gods of the Canaanites. And today we say, well, we don't sacrifice to false gods, but we do. We sacrifice our children on the altar of selfishness, on the altar of convenience, on the altar of money, because one of the reasons the abortion industry is so strong in America is because lots of people make money off of that. You know, the video that was released, the secret video from the school in Tennessee. I've gone blank on the school. But they were talking to their doctors, and they said, hey, you know, we can make money on this transgender surgery stuff, and so we're going to do it. Well, they got called out, Vanderbilt. They got called out, and they got exposed, and they had to shut it down. Well, what was the motive for doctors wanting to do that and the hospital wanting to do that? It was money. is all about money. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, the Bible says, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, maybe something that you saw that really highlights the fact that we have pitted ourselves against God, and we have said, as Israel said so long ago, the way of the Lord is not right, and we are reaping what we have sown. Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We're seeing that in the transgender insanity, as Sebastian Gorka and others have pointed out. We're seeing a lot of these guys that are struggling with their gender and fighting God on their gender totally go off the rails. Now, I believe that the devil is involved in that up to his eyeballs, and he is influencing these people to commit these horrific, horrendous acts on innocent school children, and the hatred that they have toward God, toward morality, and they come to these schools, they come to these Christian schools, Catholic schools, to try and inflict as much harm and damage as they can. That is satanic. Man is depraved, but Satan is involved in motivating these people to do these horrible things. So we'll go to the phone lines, and we have Paula on the line from Oklahoma. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. I was just wanting to say that I do think parents are totally responsible. This mother signed over and got his name changed when he was 16 years old, and she's going to live with that decision for the rest of her life. Yeah. I mean, knowing that she contributed, which she did. I mean, period. You want to do it when you're, you know, yes, he did it when he was out of the house and away from her, but still, as parents, I mean, I was brought up in a pretty dysfunctional home, and when I got out, I did some, you know, bad things, but nothing like that. And I was homosexual, and my parents, I told them, and they were, like, fine with it, and I sometimes wish that they would have, like, said, no, you're not, you know, and really put their foot down. And it just seems like our society nowadays, especially parents, they just coddle whatever the kids want. Okay, that's what we'll do, sweetie. Right. You know, instead of, you're not. No, that's not happening. When you are out on your own, that's your own choice, but not while you're under my roof. That's all I have to say.
I
am a Christian now. I'm born again.
Praise the Lord. Well, Paula, I totally agree. You know, we do, we have a responsibility. God has given us those children, and children are a blessing from the Lord and a responsibility. And we are to train up our children in the way that they should go. We're to bring them up in the fear and in the instruction of the Lord. And we have this idea. I heard this one politician, I think it was a Minnesota politician, that said, you know, we believe whatever our children, they tell us who they are, and then we accept who they are. It's like, how ridiculous is that? Your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old is going to tell you who they are, and then you're going to sign them up for mutilation surgery based on that. It's the enemy is all over the transgender movement to destroy. I've said before, he wants to kill you in the womb, and if he can't do that, he's going to destroy you at the starting block and turn you into some kind of surgical freak and destroy you and mutilate you so that you can't reproduce. It's horrible. And parents that go along with that, as Elon Musk said, you know, I was lied to, and I was told that by medical community, hey, you can have a live daughter or a dead son. And parents who are put in that position, that's very, very difficult for them. And so, word of caution, Paula, concerning the mother of this school shooter was, okay, I haven't heard from her. Obviously, she is carrying a tremendous load of guilt and shame. I mean, this is the kind of thing that could cause a person to go and kill themselves because they are living with such horrific shame. You know, I think of Jeffrey Dahmer's parents. I saw his dad on a television show. This was right after all the Jeffrey Dahmer thing came out. And, you know, I mean, he's just, how do you not beat yourself up? My son is a monster. But now Jeffrey Dahmer said, and his dad said the same thing. Jeffrey found grace in the Lord Jesus in prison, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And people say, well, a guy like that can't be forgiven. Hey, the whole message that we have to share with people in the gospel is no matter what you've done, if you will come to Jesus in repentance and faith, God will forgive you by his grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So I think that we need to be praying for this mother. And you know, does she have culpability here? Of course. But, you know, we want her to repent and live. God has no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live and experience the grace and forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, just as we've experienced that. So, Paula, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for those comments. Well, we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. Just blows me away. I listened to you, and I was telling the woman the title of my today's quiet time, whatever, truth, okay? And James 5:12 says, it says, truthful speech. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no be no. And then the other scripture I wanted to share was John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so my whole thing is, I have written down here, truthful speech. It's like, that's the key, and you're talking about that truth. And so I had a call. I thought, my gosh, this is my whole focus when my quiet time started. And then I'm listening to you, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I appreciate that, Linda. Thank you for calling in on that. Yeah, truth is critical. And, you know, as I was reading in my quiet time today in Isaiah chapter 59. It's a verse that we refer to a lot on this program, where the Lord says this in Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. In so many of our churches, truth is lacking. And so we want to create God. You know, this is what the false teachers do. They deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness. They don't like the idea that God is a God of judgment, that God is a God of wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And we want to create God in our image. We have this God. I have a friend of mine, and he has this idea that, well, God is just, he's just a big old ball of mush. He's just forgiving and loving and no judgment and no standards. And he's just, as Calvin Miller said, he's the mush God. Well, the mush God doesn't exist. If you worship a God that doesn't exist, you're just like the pagans who created their own God in their own image. And they worship the, you know, the golden calf as they did in Egypt. And then the Israelites took that over and they did that in the wilderness. And, you know, I mean, it didn't go well for them when they made the golden calf and worshiped that. We have to worship God for who he is. I am who I am, says the Lord. And Exodus 34, the Lord tells us who he is. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That's who God is. And if you want to worship a God you create out of your own imagination, as Paul said, they preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. There's only one God who can save. There's only one Lord who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And that is the Jesus of the Bible, the God of the Bible. And so we have to worship the true God, worship Him in spirit and truth. So I appreciate that, Linda. Thanks so much. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. I heard a statement. You were talking about the parents and the kids, this relationship. I heard it said the other day, and I think it just goes right in with the message this morning that, you know, everything in our house runs on switches but our kids. And I thought that was, you know, really the pattern, you know, the different pattern from the parents maybe of today versus when me and you came up, we were about similar age. You know, we had a problem, it was down and out. My parents told me to go get a switch, and they give me a chore to do. It's just crazy, and I just wanted to touch base with you. We love y'all, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate that. Yeah, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. The parent who really loves his child will discipline him on a regular basis. You provide consistent, loving discipline. That's not to injure the child. That's to help the child so they know the difference between right and wrong. They know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. Every home has to have clear boundary markers for the child to know this is acceptable behavior, this is unacceptable behavior. If you choose the unacceptable behavior, there are going to be consequences for it. And, you know, in our house, we had a wooden spoon. We use that wooden spoon to spank little bottoms, and that gets kids' attention. We did that not because we were mean and cruel and hated our children. We did that because we loved our children, and we do love our children. You tell your children, don't run with scissors. Why? Because you can hurt yourself if you do that. And so we do that. We make those rules because we love them. And we enforce those rules because we love them. We have time for one last call. Terry in Texas. Terry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that there's a difference in influence and authority. And authority is we're basically enforcing our rules or our dictates or whatever in the home, school, or whatever. But influence lasts for a long time. And you can influence other people. You may not ever even speak to them, but by your life and your lifestyle, and your children watch what you do. And you may make them say or do or not say or do or attend or different things, but your influence long after they're out of the home and when they're adults and making their own decisions is based on their influence that you had on their life. And as grandparents, we can do that. As parents, we can do that. As teachers, we can do that. I think influence is a very strong motivation.
Yeah, that's a great point, Terry. And so for a mom, a dad, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, listen, how you live your life before those little ones is critical. Because if you're telling them, if you're giving them rules that you yourself are not following, always tell the truth and they see you lying, they hear you lying. Be responsible and they see you irresponsible. That doesn't compute in their minds. So the poem I like says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you go with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Let me encourage you, mom, dad, grandparent, be a sermon to your kids, to your grandkids. Shine and share. And let the Lord use your life. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.